Welcome to Trashy Divorces, everybody. Trashy Royals edition.
Trashy Royals. My name is Stacy.
I'm Alicia. Thanks for joining us today on our season 10 continuing Wednesday bonus series. Because the Royals are pretty trashy.
Yeah, always have been.
This story isn't trashy necessarily in the love department, but there's a certain qualification of trashy that is involved with taking an entire group of people who are guilty of nothing but just stuff you've invented in your own head to kill a bunch of them. So that's fun. Today, we're going to do a little witch hunting with King James.
Oh.
The first of the Stuart kings.
King James, witch hunter.
King James, witch hunter. He ascends the throne in 1603 after the death of Elizabeth I,
okay,
who is the last of our Tudor monarchs. King James has kind of been in contention with a few others for the passing of Elizabeth's crown. But Elizabeth, having some experience with her sister, Mary I, will never really name a successor, at least not until the very end. And even in that choosing of James, there's some Star Chamber minister manipulation behind it.
But I think what you mean is there's some politics that happened in this very political... Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the Cradle King is the chosen one, and King James, already King of Scotland, is now going to get his hands on the English crown and also hunt a lot of witches for no particularly good reason.
Well, surely the place was crawling with witches.
Well, witch hunts had been a thing in Europe from about 1450 on. Goes on for 300 years or so. At some points in history, it is downright terrible.
It was necessary to fight back on the witch scourge, Alicia.
Well, witch hunts are the Holocaust of three generations within history. They're everywhere. And once they take hold, it's on. Like about 100,000 people over this time period will be put on trial for witchcraft. Most of that number is women.
Interesting that
about half are put to death. In Scotland, witch hunting takes on even more fervor. 4,000 women are taken into the fires and burned in Scotland. This is more than double the execution rate in England,
which has a much bigger population, from what I understand.
Scotland doesn't have anywhere close to the amount of people that England has.
A remarkable number of people to... Hey, and let me guess, a lot of these women were accused by men who maybe they had turned down romantic requests, and the men said that they had bewitched them.
Sometimes.
Stuff like that.
Sometimes. Well, let's talk about it. So what's causing Scotland to
have this increased number? Scotland witch central,
King James, witch hunter. So King James, remember, is a cradle king. He gets his first kingship title at the age of 13 months.
Oh, wow.
When his mom, Mary Queen of Scots, is forced to abdicate. This is 1567.
Okay.
Y'all go back and see the Mary Queen of Scots episode, but she's going to flee to England, where she will stay as the...
Oh, right. She's,
guest prisoner.
Ward of,
of her cousin Queen Elizabeth I until her beheading Mary the Queen of Scots in 1587.
Tough times, man.
But Mary Queen of Scots, upon her death in 1587, James is now her son, a young 20-something, coming into his own on the throne. He's had a bunch of uncles who've been bossing him around, but now he's, now he's old enough and smart enough and to be king. Okay. And it's time for some dark magic. Now we're going to talk about demonology and witchcraft.
I think it's just demonology, but... Encyclopedia.
It's the Latin A-E. Daemonology. Good Lord. No. We'll just call Ted Mosby. He'll tell us.
Continue.
Okay. James. There's a premonition that James is told that Mary Queen of Scots, her death has been seen. It's been visualized before it happened. It's only spoken of in secret. Which could have been true because the papers for her execution were signed before it was actually carried out. And there's insider court knowledge and people who are running messages back and forth, but...
Well, and given that she was held prisoner for years, it was sort of a good guess that at some point Elizabeth was going to get around to ending that.
In whatever way this is manifested, James now hears of a vision of a bloody head dancing in the air, and James is like, I want to get into the business of dark arts. 3 years later, 1590, Scotland is going to have their largest of witch trials, and they're all public. In all of the history of the country, 70 suspected witches are rounded up because they have summoned. What is the crime of these women?
Yeah, what have they done?
Well, they have summoned a storm to destroy the fleet of the king as it is carrying his new bride, Anne of Denmark, across the North Sea.
Wow, so his bride was killed at sea.
No, Anne's fine.
Whoa.
James and Anne have married November 23rd, 1589. And this is a year later. She's already over.
Oh.
They're already married.
Have they had a baby yet? Or
hold up. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So there was like a rain delay.
Yeah, like 2 years later, he's like, I'm really mad about that storm that happened when my future wife was crossing.
That sure was an inconvenience for a bit. Okay.
So 2 years later, James gets real mad about the high crimes, and certainly the witches did that to control the weather, because...
Just not very well.
Okay. Now, these suspects...
Worst assassins ever.
...are getting tortured, and once physical torture begins to happen, they're confessing to all kinds of shit, right?
Like, yeah, I think,
sure, we did those spells and rituals.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, tell us about them. So now they're just making up, like, please just stop. The longer I talk about bullshit,
the less you're hitting
time
me.
I'm spending on the rack.
Right.
So they're like, sure, we bound the severed genitalia and limbs of a dead man to the legs of a cat, and then we tossed the bundle into the waves, whereupon there did such arise a tempest in the sea.
Leave cats alone,
as
people.
As a greater hath not been seen.
Oh my God.
I know. Okay.
Okay.
So
torture works, everyone. That's the lesson.
There's another occasion. Satan himself was said to have appeared to the witches, mm-hmm, and promised to raise a mist and cast the king into England, for which purpose he threw into the sea a thing like a football.
Okay, but... James did end up cast into England as its king.
So James is mad. Mm-hmm. This is all appalling, and cats and limbs and severed penises. And now, because I've been getting the reports about it, I have to be in the room where it happens. So now James wants to be involved in every investigation. There's a lady named Agnes Simpson. She's one of the main suspects, and she's brought to Holyrood House in Edinburgh, so that King James can question her personally. Agnes Simpson stands stiffly in denial of the charges against her. She, by this point, has all of her hair shaved off in each part of her body, her head wrenched with a rope according to the custom, being a pain most grievous. Hmm. Okay, so all of this continues for an hour during her torture, while King James looks on with great delight.
Not a sociopath at all.
There follows a dramatic moment of interrogation where James, responding to something Agnes had said, leaps up in fury and declares her a liar. Agnes looks calmly from one side and convinces him of her magical powers, because Agnes reveals certain secret matters that had passed between King James and Anne of Denmark on their wedding night. Just kind of throwing out some gossip,
some,
I guess.
Decent guesses about what they got up to that night.
Size, girth. I don't know. History does not record what is revealed.
Isn't it funny to think maybe she like accused him of, I don't know, losing an erection or something to make him feel small, but that it actually happened or something? You know, like it could be anything.
It could be any comment, but she, of course, I know this. Okay. So James is astounded at her revelation. The king's majesty wondered greatly and swore by the living God that he believed all the devils in hell could not have discovered the same.
Yeah, I think, Yeah, I think he had trouble that night.
Acknowledging her words to be most true.
Oh my God.
And therefore gave the more credit to the rest that is before declared. Okay, so at this point, King James's...
And Agnes was just trying to screw with him.
King James's hobby, where he's been flirting with the dark arts, has now turned into a job. Okay, it hasn't quite moved to career vocation level yet, but we've gone from hobby now to job. Because now King James is going to start commissioning pamphlets that he will compose, along with some others, about why witches are dangerous.
So he's a blogger.
Yes. Witches should be feared.
Absolutely.
Well, pamphlets...
He registers witchhunters.com.
...are not fulfilling his big magic creative need.
Sorry, .co.uk.
So in 1597, King James is going to write a book called Daemonology, The Science of Demons. King James is the only monarch in history so far, to publish a book on witchcraft.
Get on it, Liz Too.
So from the trials in 1590 to the publication of Daemonology in 1597, King James just putting all his fever dreams, all of his imago, everything just... off the charts.
Because I guess that's the important thing to keep in mind is all of this was entirely imaginary.
Every bit of it. Every single bit of it.
He is torturing and killing human beings, largely women, because of fever dreams, basically.
Yeah, okay, so I think you have a pretty good essence of King James, but I just want to let you know that in addition to all the witch hunting stuff, he's also a big time misogynist.
I'm stunned.
I'm glad you're sitting down.
Let me sit down further.
He's dangerous. He scorns women. He reviles women. Women are absolutely inferior. And it is only women who are witches.
Well, it's because they're mentally weaker and Satan has an easier time convincing them to do his will.
He will argue in Daemonology, as that sex is frailer than man is, so it is easier to be entrapped in these gross snares of the devil, as was over well proved to be true by the serpent's deceiving of Eve at the beginning, which makes him the friendlier with that sex since then.
He phrased it so much better than I did.
All references to witches that were in the Bible when King James rewrites his King James Bible...
Oh, right, the King James
...have
Bible.
Been rewritten into the female gender.
That's very interesting. But he had studied this intently, Alicia. He wrote a book.
About his fever dreams? Yeah. So Daemonology and its publication has a lot of aims.
The first fantasy novel.
Part of the point of the book is to convince the doubters of the existence of witchcraft. Primary aim.
Well, I mean.
But Daemonology goes a little further because it allows you full blanket permission, 100%, to persecute witches with fervor and gusto. Get out your stakes and pom-poms, people. Evil surrounds you. Go find it. Go seek it out, find the evil, and torture people. This is your permission slip from the king.
God, I feel like this is so relevant to
Go after
today,
who you want to.
Right? Pizzagate, all that stuff. Like,
you just go, there's no basis for any of it besides fever dreams. But here's your permission slip.
Nothing ever changes.
To go... be a dick to whoever you want, as long as they're a woman.
Right.
We're going to single out a certain group of people that you can just be terrible to. Now, it's not like people need to be convinced too hard, but when you open the door to behavior that is out of the norm, expect the barn to be busted. You're not putting the horses back in the barn.
Hey, Trash Pandas. Stacy here to share my latest take a mental breather from your day find. Two dots. Two Dots is a free-to-download puzzle-based mobile game where you connect dots in relaxing puzzles while unlocking levels and collecting treasure and prizes along the way. Connect at least two adjacent dots of the same color to make a move, and remember, dots can connect horizontally and vertically, but never, ever diagonally. And as engaging as the main puzzles are, there are also side quest game modes like the scavenger hunt, where you find hidden objects amidst riotously colorful art, and classic adventure game vibes in the arcade. Each fun and relaxing Two Dots puzzle offers a new gameplay experience, plus the chance to collect trophies, medals, and other souvenirs of your adventures. As you advance through the levels, you'll earn various power-ups and special dots with new effects, like erasing all dots of a certain color or clearing a row and column simultaneously, and the colorful visuals find the perfect balance between stimulating and soothing.
Two Dots is free to download, and you can play even when you're offline. Make it a party by challenging your friends on Facebook. If you're ready to kick back and unwind, download Two Dots for free on Android and iOS and start connecting.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Because people at the time already believe in devils and imps and fairies and goblins and ghosts. And there are legendary creatures. There's vampires and werewolves and unicorns. Nothing new. There's a world that exists beyond what can be seen. But science at the time, fledgling at best. Data's not a thing. But what is a thing is nature and the basis of science. So people are doing then what they've been doing since the beginning of time, which is try to make sense of the world around them. There's the magic of the garden and healing and plants and herbs and roots and bear. Like, it's not too big of a stretch.
Yeah.
People believe in the garden as a healing thing or a dangerous thing, one or the other. People believe in warnings and portents and superstitions. Pregnant women can't look at the moon. If you do that, your baby will be insane. Spilling salt, like nosebleeds. Like, there's a million ways they're trying to explain their world. And
right.
Once it certainly.
Because it's actually the buckets of gin that the pregnant women are drinking that is causing harm to fetuses. But the moon.
Right. Let's no, it's the moon. It's the moon. It's the moon's problem. So. Like, if you're a witch, clearly you've made a pact with the devil in return for your supernatural powers. It's really easy to blame the lady in the village who has the best garden with all the good stuff if there's bad luck in the village. Or somebody did break up with somebody, right? It can be anything or nothing.
Right, or an herbal concoction does not actually cure your ailing relative and they die. And so, hence, witchcraft. Yeah.
A number of plagues happen throughout these centuries. Plague in the village, witch. Your cows get sick.
Definitely a witch.
Definitely. Fields not growing.
Witchcraft.
Bad weather.
Oh, that's a witch.
Broomsticks and witches riding broomsticks become a thing in Elizabethan England. Oh, if you have a pet, that is clearly your familiar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They advise you on the ways of evil.
Yeah, it's also worth considering the significant mortality rates. Like, there were just a lot of widows who nobody really got what they were up to, and there was not a clear place for them, especially as women were pushed out of, like, brewing, like, mm-hmm. making beer.
Well, think about single women, widowed women, older women, poor women.
Mm-hmm.
They have the rural information and science. They do have pets. Old, poor, single women are the ones that are targeted.
Exactly.
This goes badly enough in Scotland, right? King James isn't King James the First of England yet. This is still in Scotland before he ascends in 1603. Woo, 1603, surprise! New King of England.
You need to Glasgow away.
Well, the English people are not as into burning witches as King James is, or the Scottish people are. Torture in England is in fact outlawed, and anyone convicted of a crime is hanged, not burned. Elizabeth did helpfully change some things after her sister's reign.
Sure, and I think, I mean, my sense is that the English have considered the Scottish to be less civilized for quite a long time.
I am not getting into...
I'm just saying, like, I feel like...
Scottish politics.
But I feel like maybe an effort on James's part to import some of the more sort of brutal legal remedies of Scotland maybe fell on deaf ears because the English have a heightened sense of themselves.
Yeah, James didn't do that. So England under Elizabeth's time has decreased barbaric practices. She's a kinder, gentler Tudor monarch.
Such as it is. Yes, the best of the Tudors. Most agree.
And England has kind of come around after kinder, gentler Tudor monarch. So they're like, herbs, yeah, they're nature's medicine. That old lady in the village did not give you syphilis, town mayor.
Like, well, except when you slept with her.
Right. So when James becomes king, got a whole new market to publish daemonology to. It's reprinted twice in 1603 in England. Next year, 1604, King James settles in, finds out where the bathroom is in the palace, and he's like, okay, great. You know that rule you have about punishing witches here? Well, now we're going to make it a lot harsher. So before you could be punished if you committed murder or injury through your witchy act, you could practice it, but you couldn't do harm from it, right? That was the rule. You could do your witch shit, but as long as it didn't produce any harm, we'd leave you alone. Well, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. Any practicing, any witchcraft, anything ever will be punished. I don't care if there's harm or not, doesn't matter. And the punishments are going to get a lot more severe. You will be hanged for your first instance.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like that would put an end to it.
Oh, if you have a mole, you're automatically guilty. It's the devil's mark, and you will be condemned to death.
Early dermatology was swift.
So one of the things we've talked about within Trashy Tutors on Patreon that is fascinating to me is how the theater and playwrights of the time are tying into all of this. If you want to understand the history of the world, look at the art that was being created in that time. 1604, when King James comes into England, we have Christopher Marlowe releasing Dr. Faustus, which is witchcraft to the extreme. Direct result of James assuming the throne. Fun little tie-in here. As we celebrated the birth and death day of Shakespeare, Stratford Willie, the man who calls himself Shakespeare, last week, even old Stratford Willie is going to get involved, and he is going to write a love letter to his new king, James, in the form of a play. Perhaps you've heard of it.
What's it called?
It is The Cursed Play. Premieres in 1606.
Is it called Demonology?
It's called Wash Your Hands, people. It's Macbeth, yo.
So there are witches in Macbeth. There are portents and visions.
So it is legend that the witches are pissed that Shakespeare will use their incantations and stuff that they perhaps have said in some real life situations and will curse the play for all time. Stratford Willie, like, researches and, like, the chants, the ingredients, Finny Snake, Eye of Newton, Toe Frog, right, are supposedly real spells. Witches are mad. This is a clear copyright violation. We will curse this play for all time using the title's character name to do our evil bidding.
I feel like you're proving James's point here.
So the Mackers. is first performed at the Globe in 1606. And from the very first production, there is a curse on the play. The actor that is playing Lady Macbeth will die suddenly before the show begins. And so apparently, supposedly, the rumor is Shakespeare plays her part. Make of that what you will. Will. It is a disaster, but more of a disaster because King James hates the play. King James is also the proprietor of the King's Men, Shakespeare's company. He's the king of the King's Men. Mm-hmm. So the play, after one performance, is pulled for like another 5 years. That's how mad King James is. Macbeth is seen one time and not seen again until King James gets over it. Anyway, I love Macbeth. It's so good. All right, how do you know if you're a witch? Let's test. A common way to test is to use a ducking stool or just tie them up and duck the accused underwater in a pond or river. And if you float, she's a witch. And if she doesn't float, she's totally innocent.
Dead, but innocent.
And drowned, yeah. Anyone who floated was then burnt at the stake.
Once they dried off. So.
I don't even think yet. Well, yeah, probably.
Quick dry.
Kindling. I guess it depends on the time of weather.
They're going to dry you out in a bad way.
In 1612, there's a big thing that happens called the Pendle Witch Trial. 12 suspects are charged with 10 murders. 10 are found guilty and hanged. 1 is found not guilty. 1 dies in prison. There's a guy named Tommy Potts. And he's going to write an account of this, which is super popular and will continue to sort of stoke the flames of the terror, which is upgraded to hellfire and gruesome. And let me reveal to you all the salacious details of what happened in these cases. And like, these tactics work. So fear and anger and hatred are at an all-time high. Now, the other fun thing James has done, because he's just racking them up, right, is he has taken over the press. He's taken over the printing industry. It is the most viable way to control public opinion. It's time-tested. And now that King James is controlling the narrative, everything becomes justice. The details don't quite line up. We can lie about them because I'm certainly not going to fact check my own fever brain. It's terrible.
So he's like got the media sort of to keep the public amped up and fearful about this
with all his imaginary fucking fever dreams threats. About imaginary witches. Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, this doesn't have any
resonance. Dude, I would have loved for Stevie Nicks to put a curse on that fucker.
No. There are no parallels happening in modern America, I'm happy to report.
It all comes to a head in a scandal at court. There is a publication. It is called The Wonderful Discovery of the Witchcrafts of Margaret and Philip Flower, Daughters of Joan Flower, near Beaver Castle. So in 1613, the Earl of Rutland's two young sons are stricken by a mysterious illness at Belvoir Castle. The first child will die shortly after getting sick. The second son is sick for like another 6.5 years. Here's the thing you need to know. The Earl of Rutland is one of the most prominent members of the court. Also, he has a daughter. Her name is Catherine. And King James has a favorite at the court. His name is George Villiers. He will go on to be the Duke of Buckingham. George Villiers and Catherine, the daughter of the Earl of Rutland, are married. And if Catherine is the only living child of the Earl of Rutland, she's going to get a lot more for her husband when the Earl of Rutland goes, as opposed to that little sickly kid just trying to stay alive.
Are you suggesting that there may have been a poisoning?
Well, there is some evidence that George Villiers had the child killed.
But it was actually witchcraft.
He is certainly behind the pamphlet about the trial, which destroys the actual not guilty people involved to ensure that George's lies are protected. It's blamed on these other witches village.
Obviously, it's witches.
So by the time that the younger son does, three local women, Joan Flower and her daughters, Margaret and Philippa, had been convicted of bewitching the boys.
I mean, her name is Philippa Flowers, obviously. Obviously, Joan. Throwing witchcraft around.
Terrible. Joan Flower dies in custody. Her daughters had been found guilty and hanged at Lincoln Castle in 1619. Most witchcraft trials constituted grave miscarriages of justice, but this one was one of the most shocking of all. So by the time of the Belvoir witch trial, there is much more growing skepticism about witchcraft, not just in England, but throughout Europe. Even King James, by this point, great witch hunter, fuck it all up for decades and decades, is beginning to have his doubts. As one historian put it, he was by this time much more passionate about deer hunting than he ever had been about witch hunting. So in the last 9 years of King James's reign, there are just 5 people hanged for witchcraft in England. And people are now kind of turning around like, yeah, maybe this isn't really a thing. By the 1620s, all the pamphlets are done. Publishers are like, hey, maybe these things are kind of controversial and full of lies, and maybe it's best if we don't publish them. In addition to a definite lack of interest in the topic, people just aren't into it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, some of that did get shipped over to the new colonies in the New World. We definitely had some continuing issues with imaginary threats and people getting killed.
So King James is going to bite it in 1625. So we can just put all that witch hunt stuff behind us, right?
May as well.
Yeah, not even close. Thanks, King James. You just unleashed your imago and fever pitch dreams on women everywhere through the rest of time.
But there have been some great witch movies.
I'm mad about it. I'm mad about King James. There is a fantastic resource, y'all, by Tracy Borman. She wrote a book called Witches, A Tale of Sorcery, Scandal, and Seduction. Go check her out if you would like to learn more about the witch hunting that happened in ye old times of yore. And that's Trashy Worlds for the day.
Wow, that's a remarkable story. And yeah, imaginary threats do not require lethal force.
No, they really don't.
To address.
I mean, the more things change, the more things stay the same.
In fact, they may just require a therapist. All right. Well, hey, thanks for that.
We'll be back next week. Oh, I got something super fun. I got something super fun for you next week. We'll be back on Sunday with a regular Trashy Divorces episode as well.
We got good subjects.
Until then, keep your hands clean. Keep your hearts trashy.
Don't go hunting witches. Just like if it's imaginary, like just enjoy it, but don't fixate on it.
Pick some flowers. Feed some birds. Have a cookie.
Cookies are good.
Cookies. All right. Cheers, friends.
Bye, everyone.
See you next time. And thanks to you for listening. Trashy Divorces is a Hemlock Creatives production, created and produced right here in Atlanta, Georgia, by us, Stacy and Alicia, with a little research and writing help from the brilliant Melissa O.
Our art is by Sydney V. Smith. That's Sydney V. Smith at carbonmade.com. And our music is used with permission of Ratsy. Check her out at Ratsy's store on Instagram. And definitely drop into Ratsy's store anytime you're in Oberlin, Ohio.
You can contact us at trashydivorces@gmail.com or find us on the World Wide Web at trashydivorces.com.
If you need more trash candy in your life, our Patreon community includes some of the very best humans around and thousands of hours of bonus content at every level of support. Join the fun at patreon.com/trashydivorces.
Interested in some Trashy Divorces swag? Check out our merch shop and Trash Panda Enthusiasm Society at bit.ly/trashygear.
Want to advertise with us? Reach out to sales@advertisecast.com for more information.
And last but not least, come play with us on social media. I keep most of our Trashy Divorces Instagram hopping. Stacy and I share it up over on Facebook, including our Trashy Divorces podcast discussion group. Come join us over there, and thanks again, everybody, for listening.
Keep it trashy, y'all.